Well, it's the end of the semester for a lot of our college students who are moving on and moving through this time of the end of a semester. My oldest daughter, Elizabeth, is going to be graduating this Friday from UNC Greensboro with her master's in music education, and then on a couple days later to Connecticut with her husband, Danny, and moving up to Connecticut where they'll be living. So I'll probably be making some trips to Connecticut over the next few years, visiting. My youngest daughter, Rebecca, is finishing up her third year at UNC Charlotte. Rebecca is majoring in geology, particularly planetary geology, studying the planets and space. And this past semester, she spent an internship actually measuring the rocks on Mars. Some of the rover pictures, some of those rovers up there sending back pictures. She's did an internship with one of the professors and gave a presentation a couple weeks on this work that she's done, very much into the rocks and the crevices and measuring them. I'm not even sure I understand it all, but she's very excited about it. But Rebecca also is very much interested in another topic, another subject, and it started when she went to Apex High School. Rebecca chose as her language German, and the teacher at Apex High School, the German teacher, is just an excellent teacher, and just created a passion in her for German. And so at UNC Charlotte, while she continues studying geology, she's continuing to study German and develop that skill as well. And this past semester, she took a course in German, not so much on the language, but actually learning about Germany, about the culture, about the history, about the people. And it's a course that she's really, really been interested in. At the end of the semester, each student in the class was required to make a presentation. And the presentation could be on any topic that had been covered during the course of this this course on Germany. One of the topics was monasticism. Monasticism. And that's the topic that Rebecca chose to present. And it kind of connected us again. I became her mentor here as she began to prepare for this presentation on the monastic life. And in the last couple of weeks, we've been in touch quite a bit as she's picked my brain in trying to get this presentation together, which she actually presented a couple of weeks ago and had a great time doing it. But that conversation with Rebecca has entered me back into some reading and some thinking about the monastic life. I've revisited some things that I haven't read in quite a while. And I watched a DVD recently that is called Into the Silence. Into the Silence. It's a almost three-hour DVD about the monastic life. And I didn't watch it all at once, but broke it up into bits and pieces. See, the monastic life, we think of the monastic life, we think of the Benedictine communities. The Trappists. The Trappists are considered sort of an outgrowth of the Benedictine community. But there's also another community that this DVD is about, and they're called the Carthusians. The Carthusians. If you ever heard of the Carthusians. It's a very unique calling. Our Carthusian monk is basically someone who lives in a hermitage. And they live next door to another monk who lives in a hermitage. And they live next door to another monk who lives in a hermitage. They're basically a community of hermits. They get together about two or three times a day for prayer in the chapel. Once a week, they get together for a common meal. They eat all their meals in their hermitage. They work in their hermitage. They pray in their hermitage. But once a week, they get together for a meal. And they spend some time together in recreation, spending Sunday afternoons walking around, talking, catching up with each other. It's a very unique calling. You may say to me, sounds like a very strange life to me, George. Maybe while there's only about 400 Carthusian monks worldwide, it certainly is a unique calling. But in this DVD, one of the monks is interviewed towards the end. He's an elderly monk. He's been a monk in this Carthusian monastery for maybe 50 years or so. And he's gone blind, and he's talking very gently to the person interviewing, saying how much this life has meant to him. He says even his blindness he sees as a gift. He shares that the person kind of is asking him why he lived this kind of a life. And his way of describing it, I don't know the exact words, but he kind of conveys the fact that for him, being this Carthusian monk, this hermit, was basically a life and a desire he had to make himself available to God. Make himself available to God so that when God became present to him, he would be aware of it. And he said he had these fleeting moments throughout his life, just fleeting moments, where he experienced that kind of presence of God. And those fleeting moments were worth this life that he had lived. Just being present to God. Reminds me, when I was a deacon years ago, the year before I was ordained a priest, I was a deacon in a parish in the Bronx called St. Barnabas, a very heavily Irish Catholic parish. And every day there was an older man, I think his name was Sean, and every day he'd come to the church, and he would sit there for about an hour, at least an hour, sometimes a couple of hours, every day. Those of us priests in the parish and deacon, we used to talk about Sean. He's over in the church again. And one day I went over and I spoke to Sean. I said, "You're here every day." I said, What are you doing when you come in here?" I was young at the time, young deacon in my early 20s. And he said, "Oh," he says, "George, I just sit here. I look at him and he looks at me. That means everything to me." At first you may say, "What does that mean?" For him, just being in the presence, for him coming to the church was being in the presence of God. And that was enough for him. That was his prayer. It reminded me also of this Carthusian monk. Years ago, I've shared this in numerous times, years ago I considered the monastic life, not the Carthusian style, but a Benedictine community of monks and Mount Savior and New York, and I really felt, how am I to live out this contemplative life? How am I to live out this way of being present to God and trying to discover and discern where God's calling me? And at the end of that couple of summers, I talked to one of the monks I got to know there, and I said to him, "You know, I just feel that my calling, my way of living out this contemplative life is not here at the monastery, but it's more in the world." And I remember him saying to me, "George, I'm not strong enough to do that. I need to be here in the monastery." And I remember myself thinking just the opposite. I didn't feel I was strong enough to be in a monastery. But he saw this idea of trying to live this life in the world to be a real challenge. At the time, my thinking was very much being influenced by Thomas Merton, who had written many books, but one of his books was Contemplation in a World of Action. That idea that we are all called to be contemplative. Now, when you think of contemplative, oftentimes you think of someone like Sean sitting in the church, or you think of a Carthusian monk sitting in silence. But being a contemplative really is about, I like to use the word, being a mystic. Now, that's another word that sounds even more distant. What the word mystic means is to have an experience of the holy, to have an experience of God, to have an experience of the divine. And I don't think that a mystic is a special kind of person. Rather, I think every person is called to be a special kind of mystic. I think every one of us is called to experience the holy, to come to some experience of God, and from that place live our life. Sometimes we can find that it's enough to come to church and learn about God or read about God or be taught about God, but to know and experience God, I think, is the calling we all have in our lives. And while we may not be called to monasteries, I think we're still called that mystical life of coming to know God in our lives and making that present in the world. The reason I bring this up today is when I think of a great mystic who is also involved in the world, I think of our very own St. Paul. St. Paul. Our parish faith community is named after this great mystic. Remember the story of St. Paul? He was somebody who was persecuting Christians. Persecuting Christians. He wanted to wipe out this gospel message. And remember the story, it's called On the Road to Damascus, he's knocked off his horse, and he has this experience of the holy, and his life is transformed. That's a mystical experience. That's an experience of the holy, being described in this rather dramatic way. And he begins to open himself up to where God is calling him, responding to where God is calling him. Even the story today, this little excerpt from the Acts of the Apostles, is an example of that. It begins with the author saying that there was a vision. Paul had a vision. We may not use the word vision, but it was a way of expressing some kind of an experience of God. And it was being called to Macedonia. Paul probably never been to Macedonia. Probably wasn't even sure where Macedonia was. But he goes to Macedonia, as our story today says. And he gets there and he begins to share the gospel, preach the gospel. And it seems like he was there a few days. And the reading says on the Sabbath, he wanted to gather with some folks to pray. And he went down by this river. He thought there maybe was a synagogue or something down there. And he goes there and doesn't really find any place. But he finds these group of women who are praying. So he joins them. He gathers with them in prayer and begins having conversations with them. And he begins talking about Jesus and the gospel. And one of the women there, it says Lydia, and I read Lydia, listens to him. Lydia is described in the reading as a kind of a maker of purple garments. So it's a subtle way of saying that Lydia was probably a person of great wealth. Purple garments were what the royalty wore. Purple garments are what the upper echelon of society wore in those times. And Lydia was a provider of those garments. So Paul has touched her life, challenged her life. I wonder how. I wonder how Lydia's life changed after that encounter. But Lydia says to Paul, come to my home. Stay at my home for a day or so. Bring your followers. And Paul first says no, and that wonderful line, but she pervaded upon us. And he goes. He spends time with Lydia. That's really the story of Paul's life. If you read the story of the Acts of the Apostles, it's mostly about Peter and Paul. But Paul was this one who redefined Christianity. If ever there was somebody who could own the phrase, all are welcome, it was St. Paul. For those early Christians, Christianity was really meant just for Jews. It was seen sometimes as just a sect within Judaism. But Paul is the one who opened that up. Paul was the one who brought the gospel to those who were not Jewish, to the rest of the world. All are welcome. All are welcome. It was the great mystic Paul who spoke from that experience of God, who could speak like that. You see, when Paul had that experience of conversion on the road to Damascus, he claimed himself to be an apostle. And he went to the other apostles who had walked with Jesus of Nazareth before the resurrection. He said, I too am an apostle. And as any community would, they said, well, now wait a minute. You didn't walk with us. You weren't part of us. You didn't know Jesus of Nazareth. And Paul says, no, I've met the Christ. I know the Christ. And I'm a follower as well. He spoke from the experience of this resurrected Christ and joined with the apostles in forming this wondrous community we call the Christian community. So friends, I share those stories with you this morning because I think all of us are called to be mystics. I think that's why we're here. I think as we journey forward in our faith journey, we're called to learn about God, hear about God, but be led to experience God, experience the holy. And that's the contemplative part of us, to have our eyes open, our ears alert, to hear and to see and to be open to God's presence in our lives. So as we gather together today, I remember that monk in the Carthusian Monastery. I remember the monks that I spent time with who taught me more about this than I could have learned without having spent time there. I remember Sean at St. Barnabas. I remember all of you, the great mystics. Let us share our experiences of the holy in our life. And as St. Paul would have said, all are welcome. All are welcome. We welcome those journeys. We welcome those experiences as we gather as a community. But then called forth, we all are welcome to gather. But we're all called forth to go forth and change the world. That's what a mystic does. Changes the world. And we're all called to that. Let us go forth this day, making a difference, making disciples, changing the world.